This episode is sponsored by my two Patreons back at my Patreon page. You might not notice, but I do have a Patreon page where if you like what I'm doing, whether it's on the podcast, YouTube, or writing, you can definitely pledge an amount of money ranging from $1 to, $100. Patreon.com/Kamgachasa, KamgaChassa. You'll see what is available and then you can pick one or not. But I'll keep making the podcast and keep writing and making the videos. However, I need you to know that if at any point you would like to support me and keep me going with this, then that's a way for you to go. And now, let's get straight into the public service announcement. I mean, that was a public service announcement, but this is more like the real public service announcement. This episode actually came as a result of a request from one of my listeners. Her internet name is Afro Mangosier. So she has this awesome YouTube channel that I discovered, and she's a YouTuber and a blogger and does a lot of things that I had no idea existed until we met. We were connected because Anne-Marie Befoun, who is a friend of mine, shared the podcast with her on her Instagram story, which is another way that you could do to support me if you want to support me. She shared the story, Afro Mangosier saw it, and then she connected and she sent me a DM like, yo, by the way, I'm watching you now. Make sure you do things. So what happened was she listened to episode 3. I don't know if you've listened to episode 2 of the podcast where I talk about relationships that have defined my identity. And she asked me a question, which was, what are some of those things that you feel long distance relationships did not prepare you for? Now, essentially what she was saying, which is what I was saying in the episode, what the sentence I made was that there were things about being in a relationship, being married and living in the same house with somebody that I did not learn well in a long distance relationship. So I decided that I was going to start a series of episodes which were actually coming in with me talking with my wife. So if you've not subscribed yet, you should, where my wife and I will be discussing how different it was for both of us about when I was in Cameroon, while she was here, the whole period, for the 12-year period that we communicated mainly on social media, like with Yahoo Messenger and Hi5. I don't know, do we even use Hi5? I don't think we use Hi5. You know, talk about a bunch of things. So Afro Mangosier, thank you. And Anne-Marie, thank you very much for sharing. And thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to this. So this is not the episode where I talk with my wife. This is the episode where I talk about, or basically I read to you an article that I wrote titled The One Thing Long Distance Doesn't Prepare You For. So I wrote this article in March, and that's March, April, May, June. So we're in June now, which is 3 months ago. A lot of things have changed. I've moved to Pueblo. My wife is starting residency by the end of this month. So a lot of things have changed. And in fact, by the end of this month, this June is going to be a year since I moved to the US. So 1 year. So there's a lot of reflection taking place, a lot of things happening around conversations about, like life and taking account of everything that's going on. So now I'm going to cue in the music and then read the article for you. The One Thing Long Distance Doesn't Prepare You For, written by Kamgachasa on March 25th on Medium.com. It's a 5-minute read. Almost 13 years. I've known my wife since we were teenagers, since 2006. And now that we've lived in the same home for 10 months, I can say this with all the confidence I can muster. I don't know who she is, and she has no idea what she signed up for. There's romance in the idea of long distance. Staying on the phone all night, sharing all the details of the day in the most vivid language, video calling during moments we wish they were here to experience a birthday or event, etc. Even the time difference adds to it. You hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. My wife is the first person I ever trusted enough to share the difficult choices I was making in real time. She's the one who encouraged me to have a conversation with my parents when I hated my first and second college major. She's the one who made me realize what a shitty boyfriend I was when I was dating someone else. She's the one who helped me connect at the heart level and find the words where touch was absent to express how I truly felt miles away. It's almost comical that we now have these fights because of the wrong use of a word. You see, when you argue on the phone, there's so much that goes incognito. Facial expressions, hand motions, pacing, stares, the slew of nonverbal cues that can exacerbate or alleviate one's mood. For the years we spent on the phone and the internet, we learned a lot about each other. We supported each other during hard times and difficult situations. the death of loved ones, health scares, major exams, drastic hairstyle decisions, and even where we'd be after residency. There's a lot to be said of how we build the foundation of communication only with our voice and digital communication. There are a lot of things this didn't prepare us for. The one thing that stands above all else, how to fight. I believe fights are necessary for relationships. I'm not for or against them. In fact, I'm unemotional about their existence. I just believe we tend to be closest to our core selves when we are upset and need to communicate our feelings in real time. I remember each major fight I've ever had with my siblings. I saw sides of them that I'd never experienced, and it made us closer. Even with my parents. When I became an adult, well, my parents might disagree about this since I tend to never act like one. Whenever we had heated arguments, we grew deeper in our knowledge of each other, and I dare say, ourselves. I have found my limits during fights. I've tested my values and reached the points where I had no idea I had drawn lines in the sand about topics I had no idea I held really dear. In the case of my 7-month-old marriage, we've had to fight about a lot of things. Well, let me see if I can make a short list. What to eat, how long to spend looking for anything at Walmart, whose turn is it to go to get my wife's purse in the car during a snow shower. You know who loses this fight, don't you? Where to eat, what movie to watch, how to arrange the table, where to put my books, what limit of books to buy, how much soda we're allowed in one day, when to go to bed, how to go to bed, how much food is too much, how to read a movie or a book, what book to recommend, how, and this one got my eyes rolling for the whole day, how to recommend a book. So here's the thing. My wife and I are slowly learning that the people we were as kids are not who we are now. I turned 29 in February. I sort of have an idea of what I want to do with my life. My wife has been in med school for a long time. So let me put this in perspective. We see the world differently. I cannot avoid telling you that some of these fights have been hard. Crying hard. Bawling with my head in her shoulders because I can't believe how stupid I am hard. Getting married is not a joke. When that love thing is gone and you've seen each other poop a couple of times, that's when the real deal begins. Now that I think about it, I wonder if I won't say this same thing. You know, that's when the real deal begins. When we move, or she starts work, or I start work, or we get a baby, or we get our place, or 5 years from now. It seems the only truth that comes to me is that the earlier we learn how to fight without killing each other, except in our minds, the better for the team. I would not be where I am today without my wife. For years, she supported me financially, emotionally, morally, and God knows she prayed for me. She's the only person who can handle my crap, and I know for sure that no one could stand a lot of what she spews when I piss her off, which happens to be every morning given that she's not a morning person. It's not been a one-sided relationship either. I've had to deserve her, and I still work at it daily. I want to die with this woman, but not by her hands. Until then, we just have to learn how to fight. The end. So, it's a short article, 5 minutes. You can find this article on, I published it on PS I Love You, which is one of the coolest publications on Medium for love-related relationships and, you know, fiction and poetry and stuff. And I think you really are going to enjoy the publication. People talk about a lot of things about love, all kinds of love. And so, yeah, that's what this episode is going to be about, which is the one thing long distance doesn't prepare you for, which is how to fight. I'm still gathering my ideas around it because I really wanted to do it with my wife. I think she has a different perspective that would trigger me to think about things in different ways. The way I look at it, fighting has been one of those things that has really defined the way we see each other, the things we believe in, and even shown me a lot about myself. Like, there are situations where we have a disagreement, and then I realize that the disagreement is not really about whatever it is that we're disagreeing. Is that we see the world differently. Let me take, for example, when my wife asks a question, for example, she asks me like, hey, what do you want to eat? For me, it's not that simple. It's like, what do you want to eat? So what do I want to eat? And I'm thinking, do I want to eat healthy? Am I in the mood to just eat ice cream? Do I want to eat chicken? Like, for me, simple questions like, where do you want to eat or what do you want to eat don't sound simple. Like, they are not simple to me. But my wife is like, oh, no brainer. You want to eat, take ice cream, eat, period. So when she asked me that question in the beginning, I would I want to know what's all like that. Why are you asking me? Just eat anything or, you know, decide. And then she'll get upset. She'll be like, no, you need to make a decision. And then I'll pick something that I don't really like. And then now I'll get angry and I'll sit quiet. So my wife is much more expressive than I am. She's much more verbal. Like, she says what she's thinking. You can see her emotions in her words and her face. Like, she's very expressive, but I'm not. I tend to think through things. I can sit there and I'm angry with something. And when I'm angry, I actually want to sit quiet. I want to be left by myself. I want to be left alone. When she's angry, she wants to talk things and get things done out. So you can see how when situations come up that any person's angry, the other person is like, okay, for her, if I am angry, I might want to talk things. And then she'll come to me to talk. But when I'm angry, I want to actually go away. I want to be quiet and left by myself. And that usually just spirals into this cycle of people saying things they don't want to say. And like, we've had fights where we said some really mean things, but it doesn't change the fact that we care about each other, that we love each other. Like, it's something that we talk about towards the end, because fighting, when I was on the phone, right, when I was in Cameroon, if I get upset and we get upset and somebody's getting angry, it's like, okay, you know, I'm going to walk away now to do this thing, or something happens, you drop the phone and then you're almost removed from the situation. Literally, you're no longer present in that moment, in that fight. So for me, that really works, because I get to take a distance, you know, separate myself from the situation, and I look at him like, what caused this? Why am I upset? Who said what? What happened? So I break it down and I calm down, which is something I also discovered my therapist when I moved here to the US, that I am very logical in my thinking. I tend to parse through things and then realize, and then like, my emotions come after the logic, not before. So when I feel these intense emotions, I need space to think about them, even though I don't even know what it is. Like, I can feel angry, but I don't even know it's anger until I actually sit and think about anger. I know it probably doesn't make any sense, but when I was in Cameroon and during the period that we were separated, if something came up that we were both in disagreement about, there was no way for her to see my face and see that I was upset. There was no way for me to see the way she spoke. Like, for me, when I see, I tend to pick a lot of nonverbal cues. So when I pick nonverbal cues that don't match what I'm expecting, say, for example, I want you to take responsibility, or I want you to apologize, and nonverbal cues may be expressing things like sarcasm. I'm like, okay, that's not what I'm looking for. That's not what I want. This is not helping. So I get angrier and angrier. And when I get angry, I start saying really stupid things, which, trust me, you don't want to. When you get angry, just walk away or find a way, something else to do with it. I'm still really figuring out how to deal with anger. I might even make a whole episode where I talk about, you know, dealing with anger as a creative or as a human being, because it's something that I feel many people don't even know how to, like emotion. We know love, we know happiness, we know all these really good emotions. But what do you do with negative emotions? What do you do with anger? I don't know what you do with anger. It's like, it's present. Emotions, we are emotional beings, but as kids, I don't think we ever really learn how to even deal with somebody say something they don't like. It's like, now, for example, it's even worse for me now, because I can read a comment on the internet that might upset me, but I'm like, this person doesn't know me. It's fine. But if my wife says the same thing, man, my whole day is messed up. Like, she just needs to say something about maybe the way I look or the way I dress, and then my whole sense of self-esteem, because I know this is, it sounds terrible, which is weird. I'm supposed to, you know, have an idea or a sense of, you know, self-esteem and everything. But I realize that when you care about somebody to this point, like, I'm married to this woman and I really care about her opinion. Like, if I'm doing something and everybody says this thing is great and my wife doesn't think it's a great thing, it would take me a lot of energy to push through. Just the decision to follow through with what I'm doing right now, which is the podcasting, writing, and, you know, going deep into the creative journey, I had to find a way to, first of all, one, try to convince her, which I didn't exactly succeed. But then realize that the only way I could convince her was by actually doing the things I said I was going to do. So now we are on the same page, but I still have this voice in my head saying, hey, bro, you know, she's not exactly on the same page. And then the only way you can show her that you're on the same page is by actually doing what you have to do, right? So everybody could tell me, maybe I'm throwing my life away, or I should find a job that pays more, I should get to school. Like, everybody, the whole world can tell me what to do. But if my wife says something else, I will consider her opinion more than anybody else. More than any other person's opinion, basically. And it has come up a lot in fights. So I'm not going to stretch this episode out, because it's really supposed to be a mini episode. It's like an intro to what I'll be talking about in terms of, you know, long distance and relationships and how that affected us particularly. So the real deal is going to be the episode where I actually sit with my wife and talk about it. So it might be longer than, you know, the regular episodes, but it's going to really cover aspects of how she coped with the distance, how I cope with the distance. And what I can tell you, for example, that for me as a creative, being far away from my partner was actually a good thing. good thing in the sense that because I don't know whether you believe in zodiac signs, but as an Aquarius, I tend to really, like, I fit the profile of a typical Aquarius. I'm independent. I think about weird ideas. I tend to, you know many people, but not have many real friends unless I really work hard to get it. The typical things that they say Aquariuses are. So I am much more detached in most scenarios and much more unemotional about them, which works well for somebody like me who is in a long distance, who can stay away and then just, you know, just work on the thing. So, but for her, it was different. And I will let her talk about it herself. I feel like it's her place to really tell her own opinion. For me, it was hard. Like, it's not that I was fine with it or that I would be okay with the long distance relationship. It was more of the fact that I could easily separate the idea of the fact that she wasn't around and then focus that mental energy on doing things. So whether I was writing, getting a job, figuring out things with my, like, my siblings and family. So I find it easier to be like, okay, she's not here. There's nothing I can do about it. Cool. Switch. So that, some people are good at it, some people are not. And we're really different in that she's like the opposite in the particular area. And I'd really look forward to that episode. In fact, if you haven't subscribed, you should subscribe, especially because since I share the episodes on YouTube, you can get them on YouTube if you subscribe to my YouTube page as well. So just search my name, you'll find it. And yeah, I don't know if you have any questions that you would like me to respond to. If you have any, like, do you have specific questions you want to find out about long distance relationships and how we deal with it, this will be a good time to reach out. So you can send me the questions on Instagram, you can send the questions on Twitter, you can send the questions on Facebook, or go to iTunes. Actually, preferably go to iTunes and leave the questions on the review. So leave me a 5-star review, please, on iTunes. I really need those. Thank you, Miss Aziza, for leaving the review, and tell me what you think, you know. Tell me how you liked, what else you like to hear. You remember, this is a Loving Creative podcast. I'm talking to creatives. And on Monday, I'm going to be releasing the episode that I did with Brenda Herrera Moreno. I hope I'm pronouncing your name well, Brenda. If I'm not pronouncing your name, I'll feel so terrible. But I did an episode with Brenda, who runs the platform called Invisible Paradigms. I think you're going to enjoy it. She's an advocate she's an activist who actually tries to create spaces to talk about, I don't know, I would say to talk about whiteness. Basically, it's an episode. During the episode, we talk about her journey from Mexico to Great Britain to the US and how she was able to come up with this platform that provides a space for people to talk about, you know, segregation and actually get white people to understand what it all means, basically. So I think you're going to like it. Brenda is a really cool gal. She's amazing for what she's done, and you will not even believe the things that we talked about during that episode. So yeah, that was it for me for this episode. So to recap, the one thing that long distance didn't prepare us for was how to fight. So I know I've not even told you about how to fight. It's probably something that I would write or share, or if you have any ideas on how to fight, you know, comment. And next time, or during the next series of episodes, we'll be doing these mini-zodes. So the mini-zodes will happen on Thursdays. So Thursdays you get a mini-zodes, and then Mondays you get the interviews. So the mini-zodes are sort of a dissection of topics, reading of articles, conversations around things that may or may not relate directly to the interview. And then on Mondays, you get interviews with actual creatives and people. So 2 times per week, that's the schedule now, Mondays and Thursdays. Mondays interviews, Thursdays minisodes. I don't know how to call them minisodes because they're pretty long enough, but I really like them and I think you should. Duh. But let me know what you think. So leave a review on iTunes, and like in the beginning, if you want to support me on Patreon, go to patreon.com/kamkachasa. Also have a YouTube channel, and I write on Medium. So I do a lot of, like, not a lot, like 3 main things: writing, podcasting, and YouTube. They all require different skill set. But if there's anything else that you've listened to or that you want to find out, just give me a comment and I'll make an episode. That's how I do. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this. You've been listening to the Loving Creative Podcast. My name is Kamkachasa. I'm your host. And I need you to remember this. You are made to love, made to create, and made to thrive. So go out there and do something with these gifts of life that you have. I will talk to you on Monday with Brenda.